This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz Dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we steam something delicious. Steam it all, and you can't have any.
You can't steam any either.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, today we're talking about steaming food. Or, I mean, when I was looking at this agenda, I was like, should we call it steamed food? Should we?
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe we meant steamed food, but steaming food is funnier. Because imagine just like any food with just like a bunch of steam coming off of it.
A little bit of steam coming off it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I said a bunch of steam, and you said a little bit of steam.
I only want a little bit of steam.
That's true. Like, it's easy to like burn yourself with steam is one of the worst ways to burn yourself. So maybe just a little steam.
That's true. We won't be talking about steam burns anymore, though. So if anybody is...
But we might be talking about steamed buns, which is just one letter different.
Yes, yes. Okay. This episode was suggested by a listener on Reddit. Listener Moliella. Do you think I'm pronouncing that right?
I wasn't sure if it was Moliella or Moliella. Get in touch. Contact at spilledmilkpodcast.com.
Yeah, great.
Or on Reddit.
Yeah, sure. Well, Matthew, I gotta admit, so I'm really glad we're doing this episode because I kind of need to like rewrite my own like memory of steamed foods.
Yeah, it has
foods.
It has like the idea, especially like in white American cooking, has like a bad reputation.
Sure. This I think it's because steamed food was like a cornerstone of like low fat diets.
Right. It's like a, you know, let's take like a, you know, a traditional technique and figure out how to make it like, you know, as bland as possible. So, and then you pretend you like it.
So yeah, when I was growing up, pretty much all the vegetables now that I roast, so like broccoli, carrots, asparagus.
Yeah, steamed asparagus.
Steamed broccoli. Do you remember the smell of it?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I still steam broccoli sometimes. We'll talk about this.
I actually do like the smell of steamed broccoli.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I like it. But let's see, what else? Steamed green beans. That was how my mom, I mean, all of these vegetables that we had when I was a kid, they were all steamed. And honestly, no complaints. My parents were pretty darn good at steaming food without steaming the life out of it.
Sure. And like if you steam something like to the proper doneness and then toss it with butter, it's going to be pretty good.
Oh, totally. Also, steamed spinach.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it seems to me that spinach, I don't really want to eat spinach without like olive oil and garlic.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I grew up on steamed spinach and I liked it.
Yeah, no, I did. Well, so actually, I grew up on frozen spinach, the kind that came in like a block. And like that is a real taste memory for me that takes me right back to childhood. I very rarely have that today, but when I do,
You know, it's funny because there are like certain vegetables that taste so completely different in like a weird way. Like canned green beans. How could canned green beans taste so different from fresh. Like, it's wild to me.
I mean, carrots, like, I feel like this is something that, who was the founder of Chow Hound? Jim?
Oh.
It was
Jim. Remember. It was Jim.
He wrote a thing on Chow Hound many, many, many years ago about how, like, carrots have, like, a bunch of different flavors in them, and here are some ways to cook them that bring out, like, some different flavors of carrots, and, like, the recipe was, like, use, like, a little butter and water and cook it slowly covered, which I was making for a while. It was really good. But yeah, like roasted carrots versus steamed carrots, totally different thing versus like stewed carrots. Yeah,
absolutely. Completely different flavors. Yeah. So my memory lane is kind of like white American diet food.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So my memory lane is we had this thing in my kitchen growing up that I don't remember if it ever actually got used, but I wonder if you know the thing I'm talking about. It was a metal steamer basket that folded open. It looks sort of like an artichoke.
Get ready, Matthew. I have one.
You have one in your home now?
I have one.
Okay.
Because when I do steam food, what I'm usually doing, and maybe we'll be talking about this, is so whenever I make fried rice, I steam the carrot in like carrot sticks, sort of, and then I dice it.
Yeah.
I also steam the broccoli for fried rice.
Okay, so yeah, I think we steam broccoli for the same reason, because I will often steam broccoli before putting it into a stir fry.
Yeah. So I do have a steamer basket. The little leaves, I've lost two of them. So you have to kind of like carefully arrange the vegetables in there
so they don't fall through. Did they just drop off in autumn?
They did. They did. They turned red, dropped off in autumn. They were beautiful.
Yeah, I was so pleased. Like, I went on Amazon, and I'm like, does this thing still exist? And can I even describe it? Yeah, it totally does.
I think you can probably get it at, like, your neighborhood, like, Safeway.
I think totally.
Yeah, so I remember that thing.
And I guess, like, so I have, like, the steamer insert that goes into, like, you know, I got one of those. We talked about this recently, like, an 8-quart stock pot that came with, like, the pasta insert, which I got rid of, and the steamer insert, which I kept.
You know, I have in my closet, like, a 12-quart stock pot that I know I still have the steamer basket for. I wonder if it would fit in one of my, like, Le Creuset Dutch oven situations. Maybe.
It would have to fit pretty
well.
Perfectly, though, or it's just going to either... It's true. Like, your pot diameter has to be between the diameter of the outer lip and the sides of the basket, or it's either going to fall in or sit all the way up on top.
I guess I should just... The thing is I just don't have much use for a 12-quart stock pot.
Sure.
I use an 8-quart all the time.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe I should just pull out the 12-quart and bring it into the rotation.
Maybe you should. Maybe you... Well, after this episode, you're going to be steaming.
I'm going to be steaming. I'm going to be steaming up the windows.
You're going to be steaming mad.
Yeah.
Okay. So other things that I steam, tamales. Like we recently did our New Year's or Christmas Eve tamale making. We made a lot. We had enough for like three dinners and a lunch or two. And like they went into the freezer and then went from the freezer straight into that steamer basket.
Mm.
Not the fold out one, unfortunately.
You would not want the fold out one for that, because I think you want a steamer basket where they like lay flat.
I used to play with it as a kid and like flip it open and close and make a cool noise.
Totally. Yeah.
We should do an episode. No, we shouldn't do a whole episode on this, but like, can you think of other things that were like in your house that were not toys, but like you used as a toy?
Sure. I mean, do you remember like old school sifters where you turn the crank, right?
I ruined,
like a tin can.
We talked about this. And so I ruined my mom's sifter by sifting sawdust with it.
Yes.
Where did I even get sawdust?
I don't know. What were you doing? I'm sure there are other gadgets I did that with. I don't really remember.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Hold on. So when we talk about steaming, like what are we talking about here? Are we necessarily talking about only like cooking a food over simmering water, or
okay, I sort of had a crisis when I was working on the agenda here, because like, you know, like we talk about steamed rice. Let's talk about steamed rice.
Yes.
So steamed rice means cooking rice in a pot where you put in like a fairly small amount of water, and the water is going to boil away in a covered pot, and like some of it's going to steam out of the pot, and some of it's going to get absorbed into the rice, and we call that steamed rice. But when I think about steaming food, I think about the food sitting above the steam. I don't think about part of the food being in contact with the water.
Yeah.
But that's a silly distinction, right?
Right, because so for instance, I know you and I almost always have like frozen pot stickers in our our freezer, right? So yeah, I usually put those, I put a little bit of oil in a skillet, put the frozen dumplings right in there.
Yeah.
Let them cook for just a sec and then pour in water, put a lid on. They steam for what, like 4 minutes or something?
Yeah, 6 minutes.
And then
in my
I let
house.
The bottom brown off once right. the water's all gone. But that's steaming.
That is steaming. And yet, like if you ordered steamed dumplings on a restaurant menu, you would not expect them to be browned at all. I think.
I think you're right. I mean, I'm thinking like soup dumplings.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we're stickers. Stepping into like sporkful territory, like what is steamed?
Let's talk about if you can steam a sandwich, because whenever I think of the sporkful, I always think of what constitutes a sandwich.
I made a good joke the other day about whether something constituted a sandwich. I don't remember what the joke was, but just trust me. Everyone laugh at this joke.
Matthew, I didn't tell you, but the other day I told you I went to the local Roots Farm store in Duval, mm-hmm. Washington, and they carry the sporkful pasta. And I have to say, there was a little part of me that was tempted to get it. And then I was like, Molly, you have so much pasta at home. Don't spend the money on this pasta. Dan Pashman, you should send us some of your pasta.
But what if he sends us too much? I guess.
Is there any such thing?
Too much
what
pasta.
The hell?
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about some foods that are steamed.
Ooh. Okay. So we've already covered vegetables.
Yeah.
Do you think there are any vegetables
that don't steam well?
Well,
I think there must be.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm glad you mentioned that carrots, like steamed carrots, taste so different from carrots that have been cooked in like a drier heat.
Mm-hmm. like in the dryer.
In the dryer.
Like, I just like throw like a couple bunches of carrots into the dryer. It makes a great sound.
I even like a steamed Brussels sprout, honestly.
I do too.
Go
like
for
as long as it's cooked properly and then flavored well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I don't want
steamed artichokes. That is something I do steam and I don't do anything else with
artichokes.
We've
had artichoke as a like to-do topic for so long and it's
Well, this spring
will you steam me an artichoke,
cuz
I've never cooked one and I don't think I really like them, but I want to give it a try.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I'm game.
I know you'd like dip them in butter, which I'd like that.
Well, I actually like to dip mine in a mixture of mayonnaise and mustard.
Okay, I'll do
with
butter.
With lemon juice. God. All right. But enough about artichokes.
Okay. Yeah. So what would be the worst vegetable to steam? What about like an endive? Oh, no, that might be good.
No, I think that things that
what
are bitter.
What about like an iceberg lettuce?
I do think things that are bitter like that need to have some, like they need the Maillard reaction.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I would eat steamed lettuce, honestly.
Yeah,
I would
it might be good.
Eat steamed lettuce. I think that would, steamed romaine, I think that'd be delicious.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. Okay.
I love a steamed green cabbage wedge with butter.
Yeah, yeah, that's
oh,
good stuff.
Oh, man, that is so sweet and delicious. Really different flavor, too, from roasted cabbage.
Yep, okay. How about steamed custards and puddings?
I'd eat that.
Have you ever had like a traditional like English steamed pudding that's sort of like a mound?
No.
and you pour some sort of like sherry based sauce or brandy based sauce on it?
No.
I have, like, it's an experience.
I think I would love that.
Yeah.
But I would have hated it as a child.
Sure. Yeah. So that's what I think of when I think of like a steamed pudding.
What about like a pot au creme that's cooked in a water bath?
Oh,
and that's
no,
just like gentle cooking.
Because I don't think the steam. Oh wait, but you just made me think of something that's going to be like another rabbit hole, which is like when you make like a bread in a Dutch oven or like you know inject steam into the oven. Is that a steamed food or steaming food?
I don't think so.
I think it I maybe is.
Well, it's steaming is. One step of the cooking process, maybe.
Sure.
I feel like we're all doing a lot more steaming than we think we are.
Yeah, this is going to be like a recurring theme because next week we're talking about meringue and like I feel like more things are meringue than I realized. But like nothing is going to top for me the custard recipe where we realized everything was a custard. But yeah, so wait, what did you just mention? Oh, wait, I said steamed bread.
I said I was talking about water baths, like
right.
baking things in water baths. So like a custard like that.
Yeah, we already said steamed steamed dumplings, and I didn't put it on the list again, but like steamed buns, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, wife of the show, Lori, and I were heading to Bellingham, and we needed a snack before we got on the bus, and we went over to Awajamaya, and they had like, you know, the steam case of Hawaiian style Chinese bao. Mm-hmm. And it was just like the perfect thing. Like, so it was a really cold day, and those things are really hot.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
This episode is brought to you by MasterClass.
Matthew, this weekend I took a class from somebody who I bet you admire as much as I do.
Okay, let me see it. Let me see if I can guess who that is. Denzel Washington.
No, so close though.
Okay.
Margaret Atwood.
Okay, yeah, very similar.
Yes. So Margaret Atwood, she has a series of 23 classes on MasterClass.
23 classes.
23 classes. And I only had time, honestly, to watch two of them. But one of the ones that I watched was about how she chose to write The Handmaid's Tale in first person, where she wrote Alias Grace from multiple points of view.
Wow.
And so it was so interesting to listen to her talk about like the feeling that she wanted the book to have and why a story should be told from this perspective or that one. Anyway, even though I'm a writer and I teach writing, I think this stuff would be fascinating even to people who just read the book. It was so great.
Yeah, I mean, MasterClass is for you if you're like me, a bit of a prima donna, and you're like, I want to learn something, but I only want to learn from the best. Mm-hmm. You go to MasterClass. You can, learn to think like a boss with Martha Stewart. You can learn to shoot three-pointers with Steph Curry. Like, if you imagine the person who's best at the thing you want to learn, they are probably already on MasterClass teaching how to do it.
That is accurate. And plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So, like, zero risk here. If you are a lifelong learner, and we certainly hope you are,
if you're a lifelong learner, why are you listening to this show? Instead, head over to MasterClass for an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
You know, I think we could probably spend an entire episode talking about steamed fish.
Yeah, I have almost never made steamed fish, although, okay, no, that's not true. There is a steamed, like a steamed fish that I usually use, like a farmed rainbow trout for, mm-hmm. Recipe that is one of December's all-time favorites. It's a Cantonese recipe. You steam a whole fish, you then put slivered ginger and scallion all over it, and then pour hot oil on there, and then a little like soy sauce. It's so good.
That sounds fantastic. Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. So I do steam fish.
Okay.
Do you steam fish?
I've never steamed fish. I enjoy eating steamed fish. I enjoy that a lot. I mean, there is something really cool about the way that steam carries a fragrance, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And that's a really different kind of fragrance from the fragrance of a roasted food, for
instance.
And
smell is the most evocative, I was going to say the most evocative scent, but I meant sense.
Yes. No, I mean, I think that like the smell of steamed fish with like aromatics is pretty incredible.
Have you ever like poached a salmon like in like a court bouillon with like some lemon slices floating in there?
I have not, but I remember early in my blogging days, I did something similar to that with halibut. With olive oil and some parsley or something. It was so delicious.
I feel like there was a time.
It was so good.
It sounds good. No, I feel like there was a time when, like, if you wanted to show that someone was, like, doing some, like, fancy cooking to impress someone, like, on a TV show or movie, they would be, like, poaching fish.
Mm-hmm. I know that poaching isn't the same as steaming.
No.
That doesn't happen anymore.
What would they be doing today?
Actually, hold on. I have a different question.
Okay, great.
I know this is not, like, like our Valentine's Day episode, that already happened. But I once, this is calling to mind a conversation I once had with someone about like, what is like a food that you cook someone, like if you're having them over, like somebody you're dating, you're having them to the house for the first time or to your apartment, whatever, you're going to cook for them. You're hoping to have sex afterward.
Okay.
Like, what what do you want to cook? What do you want to eat? And here's the thing. When I was having this conversation with somebody, admittedly, this was like 10 years ago. And I think the first thing that came to mind for me was like a really great pasta. And the person I was talking with was like, are you kidding? Like, that would make me want to go to sleep.
Right.
I would serve fish.
We've talked about this, I think, before. Yeah. And this is like so appropriate to the date that this episode does come out because it's my anniversary, like with Watzel.
Sexy.
No, it's not just my anniversary personally. I call that my birthday.
And just for the listeners, that is in 6 months and 1 day from the time this episode. 6 months minus 1 day.
6 months minus 1 day. That's true. Okay, so everyone like everyone. start your phone timers now. Scroll the little wheels and set it for 6 months minus 1 day.
Okay. In other words, August 28th.
Yeah. So happy anniversary to me.
Yep.
And yeah. So what's like a sexy?
Yeah.
Like,
what's a sexy food?
Do you think steamed fish is the way to go?
No,
is that what you're saying?
I do not. I don't think that's a sexy food.
I don't know. I think when we talked about this last time, we agreed that the answer was like have sex now and then eat whatever you want afterwards.
Oh God, you're so right. It's
right?
Fuck first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Happy anniversary to me. Okay. How about steamed eggs? Have you ever done this?
I've never done this.
So what I'm thinking, there's more than one type of steamed eggs because you can like sort of steam a poached egg like in a little cup.
Yep.
But what I'm thinking of, and I think wife of the show Lori has done this and was like in the habit of doing this for a while, maybe still does. Friend of the show, Kenji Lopez Alt, says that the best way to get like a clean peeling hard-boiled egg is to steam it.
Oh.
I don't remember the science of why, but okay. Kenji said it, so I believe it.
I believe it, too.
And so you just put the eggs in a steamer basket instead of in the water.
I'm sure that Kenji has written about this somewhere.
I think it was on Serious Eats.
Okay. Because, yeah, I would need to look up the time.
I think it was on SeriousEggs.com.
Mm-hmm. Good one, Matthew.
You would have to look up the time, yes.
Good
6 months minus 1 day.
Matthew,
steaming time.
I see that on the agenda, the next item is steamed hams in all caps.
I want to know, for the benefit of our listeners, who I'm guessing a majority of our listeners will know what I'm talking about when I say steamed hams. Molly, what comes to mind for you when I say steamed hams? Anything?
Nothing.
Okay. So steamed hams is a joke from The Simpsons.
Okay.
In which, what's the principal's name? Damn it.
My God, you're asking absolutely the wrong person. I've seen like two episodes.
Abby, cut this
Simpsons.
Out. If anyone finds out I can't remember the principal's name from The Simpsons, I'm going to be
Mr.
canceled.
Mr. Burns. I don't know. Homer Simpson.
Okay, so, all right. We're derailing the show right now because I just tried to Google Principal Simpsons, but what I wrote was Principal Dimps.
Principal Dimps.
And what came up was a news article. Principal gets startled after finding bear in school dump. Oh, sorry, school dumpster. Oh, and there's a picture of the principal running away from the dumpster.
Let me see.
Now it went to a commercial.
Oh, God.
Okay,
caught him in the moment of terror.
Okay, so it's
Principal
Skinner.
From a dumpster. Principal Skinner. Okay, that's it, everybody.
Okay, Principal Dumpster. Principal Skinner is trying to has Superintendent Chalmers over for dinner, and like is like roasting something for dinner and goes horribly awry. So Principal Skinner jumps out the window. He's making steamed clams, and the steamed clams are burned. So wow, this is so funny when I explain this joke. That everyone already knows except you. He jumps out the window, goes to a fast food place, and comes back with some hamburgers and tries to convince Superintendent Chalmers that he didn't say steamed clams, he said steamed hams, which is what they call hamburgers in upstate New York. The thing about this joke is like, you know, there's probably something in your life where you're like, okay, like most of the time I feel like I'm sort of out of tune with society, but this one thing makes me feel like, okay, like, you know, I'm like cool enough that I got this joke. When I saw this, I thought this is the funniest thing I've ever seen on TV. Like, I laughed, like I probably peed. And then I forgot about it. And then it became like one of the most popular memes in the history of the internet. And everybody thinks this joke is funny.
What do you think it is? Like, do you think somebody's done like a PhD dissertation?
I think so.
On this thing? I wonder what it is about, like, because I agree, this is very funny.
But there is a steamed burger that is found in Central Connecticut, which I learned on Wikipedia. So I'm going to...
Central Connecticut is not far from New York.
Right. It's especially not far from upstate New York. Mm. So maybe the joke is real. Okay, so I'm going to read a little bit from Wikipedia here just because I enjoyed this. Quote, a steamed cheeseburger, also referred to as a steamer or cheeseburg, is a hamburger topped with cheese that is cooked via steaming and originally only served by restaurants in Central Connecticut in the United States. Despite it now being available elsewhere, it is still difficult to find outside this area. So basically, despite being available elsewhere, it is not available elsewhere.
Okay.
Quote, what makes the steamed cheeseburger different from typical cheeseburgers is the way it is prepared. Instead of being fried in a pan or grilled on a grill, it is steamed in a stainless steel cabinet containing trays that hold either a hamburger patty or a chunk of cheese. Oh. Like raclette, right? This method of cooking makes the fats in the meat melt away, just what you want, and they are then drained from the tray once the patty is fully cooked. Ooh. The end result is a moist, juicy burger, which is then served by scooping the meat onto a bun and then pouring the melted cheese over the meat. And the thing I wrote in the notes as I was reading it is, this probably is good, but sounds bad.
I love the idea of a stainless steel cabinet containing trays that hold either a hamburger patty or a chunk of cheese.
Can you imagine the aroma that comes out of that cabinet when you open it?
Oh, wow. I think that I might like the aroma, although I don't know about the smell of steamed cheese.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure this is tasty, but like, what a strange thing to happen.
Do you think this is one of those things that was invented by accident, like Ruth Wakefield and her chocolate chip cookies?
It was a hot day. Someone put a hamburger patty and some cheese in a cabinet, closed it, left town for a couple days. Yeah. For 6 months minus one
so
day.
So moist and juicy.
When they came back, they opened the cabinet and a taste sensation was born.
Wait a minute. I missed this the first time. Scooping the meat onto a bun.
What? That's so
weird. What form is the meat in?
Well, it must not really quite hold together. It probably becomes
it
like sort of
a
loose meat sandwich.
Loose meat sandwich? Is that a term?
Yeah.
Is that like a sloppy Joe?
I don't want to say anything about what I think a loose meat sandwich is because it's like a beloved local sandwich that I don't know anything about. But it's kind of like a sloppy Joe. I know about it because it came up on the show Roseanne, like the first one, like long before she got canceled, that they were going to start a loose meat sandwich business. And clearly both, like, someone involved in the show, like, loved this sandwich and also thought that loose meat sandwich was a really funny word for them to be saying over and over on the show. And they were right.
They were correct.
Yep.
Woo. Wow.
But this is not the same as a steamed, what was it, a cheeseburg. Wasn't that your dad?
Boy, you really need to have an Altoid after eating your cheeseburger.
Especially if you pair it with some steamed endive. Okay, so I think we've covered the entire universe of steamed food. There's nothing else to say on the matter.
Yep, done.
It's a fast cooking method.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure is. Actually, I mean, as everyone knows, steam is hotter than boiling water.
Sure.
Yeah, which is why you can get a real bad steam burn. I mean, you can also get a really bad boiling
burn. Oh, the thing you said we weren't going to talk about again.
Sorry. Okay, here we go.
Do we have any segments?
We do. We have some spilled mail from listener Rochelle.
Well, let's hear it.
Hi, Molly and Matthew. Longtime Canadian listener Rochelle here. In my house, I'm the only person who's really infatuated with food and cooking. For a long time, when I'd put spilled milk on, my wife and two kids would really They really moan and complain because they thought the content didn't interest them. I'm happy to report, though, that little by little, they're letting their guards down. Last night, I was lounging on the couch with my 12-year-old daughter, and she was eating a pizza pop. What is that?
I think a pizza pop is a Hot Pocket.
Oh, okay. She was eating a pizza pop, which to her adolescent palate is just heaven. Unprompted, she turned to me and said, "This is where I eat something delicious and you can't have any." And then she asked me if she got it right. I was absolutely delighted. Anyway, just writing in to say keep up the good work and to ask you guys to share a time when you realized that one of your children had, without realizing nor by your urging, come around to liking something you love. With love, Rochelle.
I love this because, like, I feel like I had, you know, with I wrote a whole book, like more than one book about like connecting with my kid over food. But like, you know, my first book was about how my kid was a picky eater, even though like I did everything you're supposed to do to like prevent them from becoming a picky eater. And so like, you know, seeing them now, like now for a long time, like it was like December and I, who's now known as ACOTS D because they are no longer a teenager.
Adult child of the show, December.
They liked most of the things that I liked and didn't really like any things that I didn't like. Now there are some things that they like that I don't like. Like they'll put mayo on a sandwich and where I'm still kind of skeeved out by that.
Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of them.
But yeah, but like, I don't know, like I wrote whole books about this. So
I'm going to take a musical turn with this.
Please.
So guys, June the other day, I was listening to some sort of like 80s playlist on Spotify in the car and Leather and Lace came on.
Oh, sure.
Stevie Nicks and Don Henley.
Yep.
And I straight up heard June humming in the back seat and like in a way that indicated not just that she knew the tune, but she was like into it. And then she also recently went to Target with her other household, her dad's household. And came home with a Fleetwood Mac shirt with the Rumors album image on the front. I gotta say, I am friggin' delighted. I have always loved Stevie Nicks, and June has certainly heard a lot of Stevie Nicks in my car, and she doesn't have to like it, but I think she does.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Anyway, okay. Matthew, do you have a Now But Wow?
I do. I'm currently about halfway through an excellent romance novel called Cleat Cute by Meryl Wilsner. And as you might guess from the title, this is a romance set in the world of professional soccer and is professional women's soccer. And it is a delightful and very steamy lesbian romance.
Do you have a copy I could borrow?
I have the ebook.
Oh, God.
I don't know anything about soccer, but like, you know, everything about like, you know, you can sort of tell when a book is genuinely written by someone who is, you know, loves and is very knowledgeable about the subject. And that really comes through here. Like, you know, all of the soccer details are very believable and all of the, you know, the characters and relationships are very believable. And it's the relationship is between these two women who are in kind of in different places in life, but are both on this soccer team. To put it in Ted Lasso terms, it would be like if there was a romance between Jamie Tart and Roy Kent, which obviously is a thing that no one's ever thought about or written fanfic about before.
No.
There's also some really nice trans and non-binary representation in the book,
fantastic,
which I really appreciated. So I like this book a lot. It's Cleat Cute by Meryl Wilsner.
Fantastic. Well, our producer is Abby Circatella.
Molly has a newsletter called I've Got a Feeling, and you can get it at mollyweisenberg.substack.com, and it's a delight.
Matthew is a singer, songwriter, guitarist. What else would you say about yourself?
I mean, I don't even know if I would say guitarist because I'm not very good at that. But
okay, all right, whatever. Anyway, you can hear Matthew's music everywhere music is out there, and his two bands, as of this moment, do you have any others I should know of?
Not at the moment.
Okay. One is called Twilight Diners, and the other is called Early to the Airport, and
yep,
you are going to be so impressed by Matthew's voice. It is incredible.
I've got two more songs in the can for the new Early to the Airport EP. It's really coming along now.
Awesome. All right.
Please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
And you can chat with other Spilled Milk listeners at everythingspilledmilk.reddit.com.
So until next time, which our next episode comes out 6 months minus one day from now.
Just kidding.
Okay, it'll be next week.
Yeah. Until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. Show that's
hosted by a couple of steamed hams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton. The principal who got scared off by a bear.
I'm the bear.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.